Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read from there about communion. As you're turning there, I just want to share this with you that if you were here this morning and it was a little bit peculiar to you or strange to you or in some way a little different in what happened during worship with me coming up here and praying with people who said, you know, I'm struggling with something. And being maybe assertive or aggressive in your mind in prayer, I want you to know that I've never really been much in favor of nice church. And nice church is nice, and it opens a door to a little measure of God's presence, but it's never wide enough for any works or kingdom business to flow out of it. And so nice is always nice, and nice is kind of where everybody's just kind of mostly comfortable. And sorry if that made you a little uncomfortable this morning. I don't apologize for being assertive in prayer because I want us to have meaningful moments. And there are all of us in this room, but certainly some in this room given on different Sundays because all of us have our turn, where we need God to do something and nice church has never done it. And so if it's a little outside of what you would consider social protocol or how church is supposed to be done, I'm sorry if that bothered you, but I want you to understand that this isn't about having a reputation of being a nice pastor or being a nice church. This is about, hopefully, God showing up and doing something, and that's what makes it more than nice for all of us. And so I just want to mention that this morning in case you are visiting or you found that a little peculiar or different than maybe where you've been to church before. I don't want you to be alarmed or scared or think, oh boy, that preacher's crazy. Well, you can think that as long as it's for the right reasons. And so I just want you to know that that is not what makes me weird. There might be other things, but that is not what makes me weird. I want you to know that what we believe around here is we believe that life is very real, we serve a real God, and we have real struggles. And nice church has never provided the answer for that. And so we want to do what the Scripture says, and we want to proclaim His Word and His power and His blood, and in it there is life and life for you. And so, when we feel the prompting of the Spirit to pray for people, regardless of the need, or to do something a little different in the service, I just want you to know that it's not for show, it's not for to be different for the sake of being different. It's just simply, you know what? It matters, and there's people in this room who need to be touched and need his an experience with him and need his power. And that's what we're going for around here. It's not going for, well, what's the latest song or the nicest song or what's nice church or, you know, that's really not the goal here. And if you've been around here for a while and you're thinking, wait a minute, I thought that was the goal, you need to rethink. And so I just want to take a moment. In case you are here this morning and you thought, you know, that's a little out there, that's a little too aggressive for my flavor, it wasn't about trying to satisfy anybody's flavor. This is about breaking through to the Lord, faith becoming real, and real lives changed. So that's what we're going for when you see things like that and experience moments like that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to celebrate communion. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, this is talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion. What used to be Passover and Jesus changed into what we now have labeled communion. He did it with his disciples. And now the Apostle Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, what we know as the book of 1 Corinthians, it really was a letter to the church in the city called Corinth. And so we get Corinthians, the people from Corinth, and he wrote some letters to them, and this is from one of the letters. And he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I now pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed..." Now, remember this, what happened? Jesus came back into Jerusalem. This is just before he's going to be crucified. He's together with his disciples celebrating Passover. And this is the night that Jesus was betrayed. Well, right before then, at this Passover supper, what we now celebrate as communion, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, a new promise in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Look to the person around you and say, "He's coming back." He would not have said this if he was not coming back. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread," verse 27, "therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Well, how do we drink in an unworthy manner? He's going to go into this right here. "A person should examine themselves, judge themselves." You heard Jesus say that in the prayer. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. Look at yourself. Take personal inventory of yourself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died or fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with those who do not believe in Jesus," the world. When you see your child do something, you discipline them, correct? You make a judgment. The judgment is, I'm setting the law for this child of mine, and what they're doing is they're breaking my law on how I want them to live and how I think they should live. And some of those disciplines are so that they don't just run free and destroy themselves, right? It's not just about them being an embarrassment to you as their child that they went off and lived this way. It's that, you know what? You want to give them a chance to live, to enjoy life, to do what's right. Now, if we who are human understand that principle, how much more is it then applied to our life when God is a perfect father and we are his children? God doesn't discipline us because he's mean. He disciplines us because he cares about us and loves us, just like you care about and love your child. Now, we all know that there's moments, because we're human and we have our limitations, that we discipline our child sometimes beyond what the crime involved, because we're human and we're already frustrated and we're tired and we're worn out and we had a bad day and we're hungry and blah, 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 and now I got to make supper and da, 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 and I got to keep providing for this family and, da, 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 and how am I supposed to do that? And all this builds up, and so we... That's not what God does to you and I. Still disciplines us. But it doesn't do the discipline out of being mean. He doesn't err in his discipline of us. The Lord's Supper, just in the expression itself, that God would allow us to celebrate communion at what we call his table. It's like being invited to a party of people who we consider to be so much better than us and outside of our circle. And it's like such an honor to come to their home or to this party. I want you to know that that is just a shadow of going to God's table. What an act of grace and kindness of the Lord to say, come here. Come here to my table. I want to share with you a promise I'm making you, a covenant I'm making you, that there is forgiveness for you, and that you and I, we can be in the same circle. Same circle of friendship, fellowship, same family. Didn't matter where you came from or what you struggled with. When you believe upon Jesus Christ and you go to the table and you know that there's a promise made for you in the blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that brings you into his family, brings me into his family. What an act of grace on God's part to show favor. I want us to clue in this morning on this portion that says, judge yourself, examine yourself before you eat the bread or drink the cup. Look at Romans chapter 4. If you don't know your way around the Bible, if you were at 1 Corinthians 11, go left. Okay? Go left just a little ways. You'll see the book of Romans. Chapter 4, verse 15. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no sin. There's no transgression. You see, how can you be a lawbreaker if there's no law? When you were a child, you learned about laws. All kinds of laws. And you learned when you broke them. Because you, back then, well, if you were my age, back then, you didn't go to jail for swatting your kid when they deserved it. We got a swat. Now, my dad never did the spanking because he's afraid he'd really hurt us. But my mom did. And my children, now I'm not talking about getting a beating and abuse and going over the edge. But my children, I've got one here this morning. She knows, and the other ones did too. It's not like she was the bad one. Okay, she wasn't. She wasn't. They were all equally good. But she knows what the stinger is. Because that's it gained its name. The stinger. All right? It was a plastic spatula. And it wasn't used for baking. Actually, not that I ever enjoyed when my children were naughty or disciplining them, but it was kind of fun when they were still running around in diapers and you had the stinger. You didn't have to worry about it really stinging too much. It was more of the then it was kind of fun. I never really used the stinger too much. Used my hand. You heard me say this before. You've been around here. I used my hand because I wanted them to understand that from this hand comes provision, from this hand comes love, from this hand comes hugs, pats on the back, but from the same hand comes discipline. That it's all the same. That this hand provides everything they need. So, you know, when they were little, it was the stinger, kind of thing. But as they grew, I wanted them to know that in their father's hands was love and discipline and provision and comfort and safety and protection and work, all those things. God doesn't really have a stinger. But he knows how to discipline us because he loves us. And from his hand comes everything we need. Judge ourselves. It says here that we're supposed to judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we eat the bread and drink the cup. Here's the thing when we say, okay, examine yourself. Here's the thing, for us to examine ourselves or judge ourselves, there has to be a standard somewhere. I mean, what do we judge ourselves against, right? Do we judge ourselves against our own thinking on, well, I guess I've been pretty good. You know, I didn't steal this week. Or I didn't do this week. Or I did some nice stuff this week. Or I didn't blow a gasket in my jugular vein when I got bad news and I just kind of handled it kind of nice. To what do you examine yourself to? What do you judge yourself to? I mean, it's not just when we examine ourselves before having communion, it's not just sitting and saying, well, guess I'm doing okay. I'm nice, generally. And when we start to go through examining ourselves, say, well, I'm nice. I mean, considering, I mean, look at so-and-so. I'm really good. I mean, Lord, did you see the news this last week? Compared to that person who got caught doing whatever, I'm kind of cakewalk. The one who said, don't murder, also said, don't commit adultery. Don't steal. If you've broken one of them anywhere, you've broken the law. We are to examine ourselves and judge ourselves according to the perfection of God's law and who he is. And the scripture says this, that when we look at God's law compared to who we are, it doesn't matter if I had this resentful attitude. Doesn't matter if I had this vengeant carnal thought. It doesn't matter if I looked at another woman in a wrong manner. It doesn't matter if I stole something. We've broken the law. Not all the laws that we have broken are external things that we do. Especially for those who are Christians and walking with the Lord for a long time, we learn not to do those things. But we've been busy in here transgressing. And in here, the Lord doesn't look on the outward. He looks upon, what's it say? The heart. So we're supposed to judge ourselves, examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup. We're supposed to judge ourselves according to the laws of God. All the laws of God. Jesus says this so you don't feel like, oh boy, you know, I can't even recite all the Ten Commandments. Plus the other laws of the New Testament of things that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be that are really commands. Jesus summed it up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Love people around you like you love yourself. So when we judge ourselves, have we really loved the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Before we eat this bread and drink, have we loved him like that? Jesus says, if you love me, do what? Obey me. Have I obeyed him? In everything. Not the most, not just mostly, not just the things we find easy to obey him in. Have we obeyed him according to his word? I know we're supposed to understand God's word and study God's word and all of that. That's correct. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. But there's a point where we're, you know what? We need to just obey it and quit questioning it. Quit trying to find loopholes for your flesh to exist while you still feel saved. That's for you and me in this room. We're supposed to judge ourselves against the law of God. It says here that the law brings wrath. Right here in Romans 4, verse 15, because the law brings wrath. It brings judgment. Why? Because you and I have broken the law somewhere in our life. At some point, at some time, and you and I probably don't have to look that far into our past to find out where. We've broken the law. There's a law set up so that we can understand the scripture is true when Paul writes in the book of Romans and he says, all have sinned. All, every one of us, you and I, have sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. Look at the person near you and say, I know you're probably really close to perfect, but you still fell short. Those of you who said that to the person next to you also just lied. Not because they fell short, but saying that they're nearly perfect. You had to really choke that out, didn't you? You're almost perfect. Excuse me, just a little dry in here. But the wonderful thing is that Christ paid for all our sins. That through him, through faith in him, we are now saved from the consequences of our sins. That we can have fellowship with God and come to his table of grace. And if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged because we are judging ourselves according to his law. You know, there's a difference between a walk-in and a call-in. You know the difference? Those of you who have a boss, I'll use that term on purpose because it kind of sends this boss mentality to us. Do you want to walk into your boss's office or do you want to be called in? See the difference? Do you want to walk into the principal's office when you're a kid or do you want to be called down to the office? See, judging ourselves according to God's law causes us to do a walk-in. When we don't come and confess, he's calling us in. Come here. Come here. I saw it with my children. I've seen them kind of, Dad, can I talk to you? And they're a little teary-eyed and they're a little nervous. And they know they did something wrong and they know that I'm going to find out. Not because I'm on the hunt, but because they know God talks to me. You can ask my kids. Some of it just because I know them. That they're going to sometimes act like their mother. I'm kidding. I'm kidding! For the CD in the podcast, I was kidding. I can say that she's very busy and drained this morning taking care of our granddaughter, so she's not in this room. They know the difference, I say. And my tone is different. Hey, when you get a chance later, you know, just, hey, like to talk to you. Oh. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, did I do something wrong? That's a call-in. But when they do a walk-in, hey, can I talk to you? And they're a little nervous. I say, come on, sit down. And they come and they confess. And my children have done this. They have come and they have confessed. And some very personal things and things that in them. I mean, my daughter Sydney just sent me a confession by text message because she's off at college. She did. Sydney sent me a confession in a text message. She said, Daddy, I had this really bad feeling and thought towards this other guy in class because he kept talking behind me during the teacher's lesson and then started playing the keyboard and stuff while I'm trying to learn. And you know what? He was very distracting. I'll tell you what. I just had to confess to you that I had really bad feelings towards him. Oh, my goodness. What a confession. You know, boy, Sydney, you're really bad. You know? I mean, she just felt the conviction of the Lord, but she had, you know. And I just said, honey, it is okay for you to get angry. Just don't sin in your anger. And then I said, sometimes people need a good bash in the face. L-O-L. That's what I said. So she, and then I had to say, by the way, I really was kidding on the last part. And she knew that, you know, ha ha, daddy, blah, blah. She said, I just had to tell somebody because I knew what I was thinking and feeling wasn't right. That was a walk-in. That's so much better than when I say, get over here. Don't you ever act like that again. Don't you talk like, don't you ever treat people like that. You ever do that again? I'm going to tell you something. You and I are going to have a way deeper talk than the one I'm giving you right now. Hey, how you doing? Okay, good. All right. You get the point? Hey, how's it going? You understand me? Hey, good to see you. Get it? You get it? Okay, put your tears away because, you know, there's people looking at you. Okay? Walk in. Call in. Communion is an opportunity for us to feel the conviction of the Spirit that is within us and allows us to come and judge ourselves and confess. We're supposed to initiate this with the help of the Spirit. Now, those of you who run on a self-condemnation train, you need to get off it. Because we're not supposed to judge ourselves according to condemnation. We're supposed to judge ourselves according to the law of God. And I'm sorry you've somewhere along the line you've picked up some paranoia or a self-condemning spirit thing, because the Bible says this: if you believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit of the law, the Spirit of the law, the laws weren't set up to be mean and condemn us. The laws were set up so that we would understand what sin is and the goodness of God's grace. And the Spirit of the law has set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Go ahead and turn there. You can turn there. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do. See, the law couldn't save us because we were going to fall short. So it was powerless because it was weakened by our sinful nature. God satisfied it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. That we can judge ourselves and know that we fall short. And the measure by which we fall short, Jesus Christ satisfies when we put faith in him. And it doesn't mean that we're supposed to continue sinning, not just recognizing our sin and then just keep doing it. We're supposed to make good on that grace of God, and we're called into responsibility. We still know how to go and ask forgiveness. We still know how to walk in. We still know how to handle being called in. We know how to confess. And with his help, we can change. We can be set free. We can be at peace with God and fellowship with God. Listen, if you come into church and you're like, I got to pretend a little bit this morning because I feel guilty and I know I'm not obeying God in my life. And some people say, I just don't like going to church and all they do is condemn you. And rah, 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 rah. Maybe that's a church you've been to, but I want you to know nobody's being condemned here this morning by anybody else. If you are not right with God, you have already condemned yourself. Nobody needs to condemn you. We condemn ourselves when we are not in right relationship with him. But he offers relationship with you and I. Offers this table of grace that says, come and judge yourself. And when things are done and you judge yourself and things are right, remember me. Eat the bread which represents my body which is broken for you. Drink of this cup of a new covenant, a new promise. That you gain heaven by faith, not by works alone, but by faith. Because Paul writes, you are saved by faith or grace through faith in God. Do you understand? You are not saved by your works. You are not saved by obeying the law. Because if you and I were saved, and the scripture talks about this in Romans, you have to do a whole study on Romans, and I'm not going to walk us through all this. But it says this, if we could be saved by the law, then there's no reason for faith. And if there's no reason for faith, there was no reason for Jesus Christ to die. But there's a reason, because we fell short. And there's a reason for Christ and his death and his resurrection. And there's a reason for faith for you and I. Get this. You do not work your way into God's pleasure. It is not by your good works. It is by faith in his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, because of that faith in him, we do good works. We try to live up to the law, but not on our own. But based upon a faith in Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, a relationship with the Spirit of life, that sets us free from the law of sin and death. This is the work, the saving work of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at James chapter 4, please, and then we're going to celebrate communion. James chapter 4, verse 11. That's going to be towards the right end of your Bible. It says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother judges him. Speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but you are sitting in judgment on it. That's like, for example, you read one of God's laws and you say, yeah, I must not understand this right because I don't agree with it. Get it? You're judging God's word. No. God's word is supposed to be judging us. We get role reversal. We read it and think, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. And in reality, it's not that we don't agree with it because we, you know, differ with the judgment. It's that we're usually trying to make room for our carnality somewhere, some carnal attitude, not just action. And we like it. And we think we're pretty good. Now we are placing ourselves as judge over the law. And yet we're the ones that fall short of the law of God. And now we're sitting in judgment over it? How corrupt can we get? How arrogant can we be? We're not supposed to sit as judge over the law. The law was given by the judge. And now we're supposed to live according to it. And the wonderful thing is we can have relationship and be at peace with the one who gave it. How nice is that? Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and the one who is able to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? We get confused on the whole judging part, and maybe one day I'll take time and teach on that. You and I are called to make judgments all the time, to make decisions. However, we are not called to be the judge. You and I can make judgments, but there is only one judge. He's the one that gives the sentence of life, of death. It's him. We can make judgments, but we are not the judge. So you and I are not supposed to act like the judge. Let the judge take care of the judge's business. I am supposed to be busy judging myself. Oh, we will recognize fruits in people's lives. We make judgments about it. I get that. I understand that. It's not even wrong. But we are not the judge. We don't sit in judgment over God's word. You may not like how someone else is doing something. You may not like how I pastor this church. I'll just use me for an example so nobody else feels on the hot seat. You may not like how I, you know, worship or how I do whatever before the Lord. And you're passing judgment on it. You're acting like the judge. The scripture says this: who are you to judge another man's servant? In other words, you go to somebody's house. You're a guest. You look at how their housekeeper cleans their house. You think, Listen, who are you to judge that housekeeper? They're working for somebody else, not you. Get it? Get it? Who are you to judge another person's servant? That servant is accountable to the person that they're working for or worshiping or answering to. You go over to a place of establishment, employment, and you look at how the people do customer service or whatever else, and you're just passing judgment on it and nailing them. They working for you? You sign their paycheck? Now, that's maybe not how you want it at your business or at your house. Take good notes. Make sure it's not happening there. Judge yourself. Who are you to judge another man's employee, so to speak? Who are you to judge how they're doing things in another department at the company you work? That department doesn't answer to you. Judge your own department. If we all started doing that, there'd be a lot less gossip, a lot less slander, a lot less arrogance, a lot less Facebooking. I don't want you to get the idea that I'm against Facebooking. I'm not against it. I'm against things living in us that don't belong there and the places that we display them. I'm going to tell you something. God did not call you and I to be a busybody. He's called us to occupy and work hard and be busy, but he didn't call us to be a busybody. Don't get trapped. Don't deceive yourself into thinking these things are acceptable for you and I. We got to judge ourselves. And we have to judge ourselves according to the law of God. The law of God. And where we fall short, we got to confess. And we can do it at a table of grace, a moment of gracious prayer of his presence, and confess things. And let's start doing the walk-in. Let's start coming to God. I love when my kids come to me rather than me have to chase them. You know what I mean? Not to chase you. God has a way of getting our attention, and I'm so grateful for it. We need to judge ourselves this morning. You need to judge you. I need to judge me. If I need your help, I'll ask you. Right? Right? Holy Spirit knows how to talk to me. And you know what? If I keep ignoring him, there's consequences. And if I keep ignoring him, then you know what? He will raise somebody up to come and say, hey, listen, I want to talk to you. David ignored. King David ignored. He ignored. He ignored. He shook. He kind of shook his responsibilities. Shirked them. He wouldn't listen. Wouldn't listen. And David sent Nathan to say, hey, king, God's told me something. I want to tell you a story. And he tells King David a story. And David says, who is that man? We'll carry out judgment on him. And Nathan turns the story and says, it's you. God will always deal with privately with you and I first. He's so wonderful that way. He's so wonderful that way. He will give us opportunity to deal with him privately. But you know what? If we don't resolve it there, there's a measure of exposure that comes. Not for the sake of embarrassment, for the sake of getting us back on track. But something's going to get our attention. Why don't you and I do a walk-in this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit? And come into God's presence and judge ourselves. Confess things. For some of you this morning, you're thinking, well, I don't have any real gross sin or anything. Listen, there are commands that you and I ignore, or we think they aren't sin. There are things like this. Lord, I need to confess to you that I have been worrying, and worry has caused me to be anxious. And your word says that I'm not to worry and I'm not to be anxious, but I'm supposed to bring everything to you in prayer, and I haven't done it. Ooh. Sweet confession. Because most of you here aren't going to say, well, Lord, I stole or I murdered this week and I need forget. No, it's these other things, it's the small little things that we allow to live there. They take root. And you know what? We get used to them, and they grow up subtly. And one day they go, wow, are they big? And you know what? They begin to bear fruit and have friends. And we lost our way without knowing it. Judge yourself this morning, not the person next to you. As you judge yourself, don't justify your unforgiveness because you're passing judgment on somebody else who's offended you or hurt you, and they violated you, they did something wrong. Listen, I understand that they did that. They should be judged. There's no question, but here's the thing. You have the power to forgive, and unforgiveness, that doesn't float in God's sight. That's no good. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time forgiving this person. You know what they did. It's hurt me so deeply. In fact, in some ways, because I haven't forgiven and I've held on to resentment and this grudge, it has crippled me in my life, emotionally, relationally. I've not forgiven them. And you know what? It has affected me. And you know what? I recognize that sin because I want you to forgive me. And the scripture says that I'm supposed to forgive like I want to be forgiven. I'm supposed to forgive like you forgive me. And that you will forgive me like I forgive other people. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.